Australia looks almost certain to host the 2027 Rugby World Cup after being announced as the preferred candidate. Final hosting rights aren't due to be awarded until May next year. But the announcement is, of course, a big boost to our chances over rivals the United States. Always good to beat them. Australia last hosted the Rugby World Cup in 2003. Former Wallabies captain Phil Kearns joins me now. Phil, thank you for doing that and good afternoon.
G'day, Paul. How you doing?
You know the region well. You're up here quite frequently for sporting lunches, among other things, so you know the Hunter region really well. Were you involved in the bid, by the way?
Yes, so I'm executive director of the bid for 2027. So for the last probably 15 months, I've been working on that with a wonderful team of people who have different skills from media and marketing and communication skills through to operational skills around stadia and training venues and then also around government relations. So we've got a great team and it's come together quite well.
Just rattling off those elements of what you've been involved in gives us an insight into the amount of work that goes into a bid like this.
It's a huge amount of work. We started this back in 2019 at the Japan World Cup when we took a number of government delegates over to Japan to show them what a World Cup could mean for Australia and what it means economically but also socially, and the way people from around the world get behind Rugby World Cups. It's the third biggest sporting event in the world behind the Soccer World Cup and the Olympics. And for us in Australia, it would mean about a $2.5 billion hit to our economy. And then, you know, about 13,000 jobs, 10,000 volunteers involved. It's a big undertaking, and the legacy that we'd love to leave behind is not just for Australian rugby, but also for the South Pacific rugby, where about 20% of the world's professional players come from the South Pacific. And also we want to grow Indigenous and women's rugby as well. So that's all part of the legacy we want to leave behind.
Should we talk about the Northern Hemisphere tour just completed, or we best leave that?
I think what that showed is a couple of things. How strong the Northern Hemisphere are to start with. They're very professional players. They're very well paid up there, more highly paid than our players down here. But more importantly, you don't want to peak in between World Cups. You want to peak at the World Cup. So hopefully that's a good sign for us. We know we haven't peaked yet, but hopefully we will in 2 years' time.
Do you like what Rennie's doing? Is it looking good from your perspective?
I do like what Dave Rennie's doing. There's some really good signs of life there. Unfortunately, we were missing a few players on that tour. And I think the other factor, which people probably underestimate, is our guys have been in a bubble since the end of May. And I think that proved pretty tiresome towards the end as well. You know, travelling around, not being able to see your families. I think that probably had an impact on our performance. And it's been a very long year for the guys. So I do see some really good signs of life in there and some good young players coming through. The team started to get cohesive at various times. We're just lacking a little bit of that stability. And once we get that, I think we'll be a very strong team.
So in your voluminous presentation to try and secure the 2027 Rugby World Cup, did you find some space for a few superlatives about Hunter Stadium?
Well, Hunter Stadium is well and truly in the running. We're handed some mandates from World Rugby in terms of the specifications that the stadia have to make to be eligible to host a World Cup. Hunter Stadium is in the running. There's no doubt about that. But we're only allowed to have around 8 to 10 venues. We've got 16 nominated, of which Hunter is one. But when we get to work, after we're formally acknowledged as holding the World Cup, which hopefully will come in May, we then start to work with World Rugby and sort of talk through the venues and the possibilities. And at the end of the day, they'll make the final decision with our input, but the final decision isn't made solely by Rugby Australia. It's really made by World Rugby.
Phil, it's interesting because these events, of course, focus on the elite, but do they percolate down to grassroots footy?
Yeah, absolutely. We in 2003, there was 30,000 new people who became involved in rugby. And when I say involved, could be administration, it could be coaching, it could be refereeing, and it could be playing. So they became involved in rugby after that 2003 World Cup. We think it'll do at least the same for us here. And I think the thing that's a little bit different is the way that the governance structure of Rugby Australia is means that we can set up a fighting fund or a future fund almost for Australian rugby, and the profits that we make from the Rugby World Cup can feed into that, you know, distribution to grassroots, and you know, not just giving cash to clubs, but more putting in programs in place to help them be administered better, to have better coaching plans put into place, and you know, have medical facilities perhaps that improve the well-being of players.
It's titillating to think, isn't it, that there could be a 15 or 16 year old kid listening to this today who ultimately ends up taking the field for the Wallabies at the 2027 World Cup.
That is the super exciting thing about it. And I've chatted to a lot of kids along the way. You know, we've had over 60,000 people come onto our webpage and register their support for the World Cup. 30,000 of those are new to rugby, have not been in our databases before. And that's exciting in itself. But the amount of kids who have come into it as well and say, you know what, I could be playing at this World Cup. I love my rugby. I'm prepared to work. And I just hope one of those dream stories happen. I mean, with the difference with rugby, I guess, against most other codes or the two main codes in Australia, is if you're the best player in rugby league or an AFL in the world, you're really the only best player in Australia. But if you want to be the best player in the world for rugby, well, you can be that. It's not just Australia. There's 130 nations now around the world that are playing the game, and the best in the world really means the best in the world.